There are two themes running through today's readings. The first one is kind of obvious. It's the one we've been celebrating since Easter Sunday. The good news that Jesus died to atone for our sins and rose from the dead to open the gates of heaven for us. The second theme is not as obvious. It's our response to that good news. That theme is repentance. It might seem like Easter is the wrong season to talk about repentance, because Lent is over, it's time to celebrate, right? But we have to trust the wisdom of the church in selecting these readings. I believe the church is revealing something important to us about our salvation. There can be no resurrection for us without our repentance. Jesus did everything that he could for us. Now we have to respond to that gift. In his first public proclamation, Jesus connected salvation with repentance. He said, "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." So let's look at the first reading from the book of Acts. Peter is in the temple area speaking to the Jews about the death of Jesus. First, he gives them the good news that Jesus is still alive, even though they had consented to his death. He said, "God has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses." Then Peter tells them what they need to do to be forgiven. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." Peter is speaking to all of us, too. Every one of us is a sinner, and our sins also brought Jesus to the cross. And the path to forgiveness lies in repentance for us, too. Now, you might have heard before that when you read the word repent in the Gospels, it's the translation of the Greek word metanoia. And that consists of meta, meaning to go beyond, and noia, which refers to the mind. So metanoia literally means go beyond the mind that you have. Perceive the world in a new way. So what exactly is this new way of perceiving the world? Well, instead of regarding ourselves as the center of the universe, focusing on our own desires, our own plans, we can view our lives through the lens of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything we do should reflect the reality that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. If we love him, we should desire to do what pleases him. And Jesus told us what pleases him when he gave us his greatest commandment. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." We should avoid sin, not just because we're breaking the rules, but because when we sin, we're damaging our relationship with God and with our neighbor. And let's look at the second reading now from the first letter of St. John. St. John gets right to the point. "My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." The good news is that Jesus is our advocate. But our forgiveness begins only when we humble ourselves and approach Jesus and ask him to forgive us. When we do, he will embrace us, cast away our sins. I'd like to encourage anyone who has been away from the sacrament of confession to return. You'll feel a great freedom when the weight of sin is lifted from you, and there will be great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. I also think the church chose these readings to prevent us from taking our salvation for granted. One way we can take our salvation for granted is to think that it doesn't matter what I do or how much sin I commit, because in the end, God is going to forgive me anyway. That is forgiveness without repentance. And as we've already seen, the Word of God doesn't support that idea. When I know something is a sin and I go ahead and do it because God's going to forgive me anyway, I am presuming God's forgiveness. That is a sin of presumption. If I sin this way, then I'm really guilty of two sins, the original sin that I did and the sin of presumption. In the sacrament of confession, the conditions for absolution are sorrow for our sins and the resolve to sin no more. In other words, repentance. Finally, let's take a look at today's gospel. Jesus' last words to his disciples in Luke's gospel are like a bookend of his first public proclamation. He says, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." We too are witnesses of these things. This Easter season, let's rejoice over the good news of our salvation and repent of our sins. Let us not take our salvation for granted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.